What we are fighting for, Elder Richard R. Lyman. Richard R. Lyman, Conference Report, April 1943, pages 82-86. Long years ago, Abraham Lincoln said that our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty, and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now, said he, we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure, to endure forever. Today we are engaged in a greater war, a war that covers the whole earth. We are fighting on battlefields around the world for the sacred purpose of demonstrating that, God being our helper, not only one nation, our nation, but that any and all nations, conceived in liberty, and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal, shall not only endure long, but shall endure forever. That is the great cause and blessing for which we are fighting today, and using again the language of the immortal Lincoln, we have resolved that those heroes of the other world war who gave their lives and those of this war who make the supreme sacrifice, shall not have died in vain. We have resolved that under God the whole world, shall have a new birth, of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Better dead than a slave, Henry Van Dyke says, oh, better to be dead with a face turned toward the sky, than live beneath a slavish dread and serve a giant lie. Stand up, my heart, and strive for the things most dear to thee. Why should we care to be alive unless the world is free? Giant robbers, worldwide war. What he wrote then concerning the other world war and our flag applies to this world war and to our flag with even greater accuracy and force. Oh, fiercer than all wars before that raged on land or sea, the giant robbers, worldwide war for the things that shall not be. Thy sister banners hold the line, to thee, dear flag, they call, and thou hast joined them with the sign, the heavenly sign, the victor sign of the stars that never fall. All hail to thee, new glory. We follow thee unfurled to write the larger story of the freedom of the world, the whole world free. On the very day the other war was ended, November 11, 1918, he wrote, oh, welcome home in heaven's peace, dear spirits of the dead, and welcome home you living sons America hath bred. The lords of war are beaten down, your glorious task is done, you fought to make the whole world free, and the victory is won. How unfortunate that that thrilling and glorious achievement, thus so dearly and so dramatically stated, did not actually become a reality, a temple in the center of peace. When President Grant was in Europe a few years ago, the mayor of Geneva, Switzerland, took him and as many others of his party as the mayor's car would carry and showed the members of that party the flowers, the parks, the mountain scenery, the loveliness of Lake Geneva, and many other of the attractions in and about that famous city, that great center of peace. President Grant the next day expressed the thought that somewhere among the hills surrounding that city, in that land of freedom and democracy, it would be fitting indeed for the Church of Jesus Christ to build a temple, or all upon the altar. The mayor later also took the party through the historic municipal and national buildings of Geneva and showed to us, the members of the party, the many and impressive historic documents and other treasures which the people of Switzerland hold dear as we hold dear the original copies of the Constitution of the United States and our Declaration of Independence. Some 21 or 22 nations are held together in Switzerland by their love of independence and liberty, much as our 48 states are held together. The elimination of war, that is, the preservation and maintenance of peace, is the principal aim of the officials and people of that great city and that little but great republic, Switzerland. They are endeavoring to secure for mankind and all the world that great blessing of peace and goodwill which Christ came so long ago to bring, that blessing for which all good Christian people around the whole world are so fervently praying during these terrible and trying times. It is for this great cause that the United Nations, including our own beloved country, are now unselfishly putting their all upon the altar of war. By force we have had thrust upon us this great conflict and, spurred on by our love of liberty, we, the United Nations, are making gigantic efforts to win, will win courageously. The motto of our country is In God We Trust, and throughout our land we sing, Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light, protect us by thy might, great God, our King. With faith in God the Eternal Father, to whom nothing is impossible, we have carried into this mighty and unparalleled struggle the only flag in all the world that has never known defeat. God helping us, we shall not only win, but however great the cost in tears, in blood, in human life, or in economic treasure, we shall win courageously. And when peace finally comes and the war is ended, the following words of Van Dyke found in his poem entitled Golden Stars will apply as appropriately, no doubt, as they did when they were read for the first time at the memorial service held at Princeton University, December 15, 1918. Just 4 days after the armistice was signed, he said, but many a lad we hold dear in our heart of hearts is missing from the home returning host. Ah, say not they are lost, for they have found and given their life in sacrificial strife. Their service stars have changed from blue to cold. One tear, one word of grief. Listen to his expressions concerning the courage, the determination, and the daring of the mothers of these whose stars have changed from blue to gold. O happy warriors, forgive the tear falling from eyes that miss you, forgive the word of grief from mother lips that near on earth shall kiss you, hear only what our hearts would of you hear: glory and praise and gratitude and pride from the dear country in whose cause you died. Now you have run your race and won your prize, old age shall never burden you, the fears and conflicts that beset our lingering years shall never vex your souls in paradise. Immortal, young, and crowned with victory, from life's long battle you have found release, and he who died for all on Calvary has welcomed you, brave soldiers of the cross, into eternal peace. Come, let us gird our loins and lift our load, companions who are left on life's rough road, and bravely take the way that we must tread to keep true faith with our beloved dead. To conquer war they dared their lives to give, to safeguard peace our hearts must learn to live. Help us, dear God, our forward faith to hold. We want a better world than that of old. Lead us on paths of high endeavor, toiling upward, climbing ever, ready to suffer for the right, until at last we gain a loftier height, more worthy to behold our guiding stars, our hero stars of gold. To thee nothing impossible. This struggle is like that great war of long ago which was fought in heaven, and the cause for which we fight is the same, that is, liberty and freedom, the right of choice, for all the sons and all the daughters of God. However great the cost, this struggle must go on until we are victorious. These are trying days, terrible times. The agony on the part of the mothers and of the young wives of those soldiers who may be called upon to give their lives on the field of honor is not unlike the agony of the Master himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was under the trying conditions then surrounding him that he exclaimed, Father, all things are possible unto thee, take away this cup from me. 3 times he repeated this, the most earnest, prayerful appeal that ever fell from his divine lips. The situation was so serious that his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The load he had to bear was so heavy that there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Prayer of Jesus not answered. And was this his most earnest prayer answered? It was not. Then came the sublimest moment of his most remarkable life when he added, Nevertheless, not my will, but thine, be done. Thus, by enduring that great agony, the Savior took upon himself the sins of all men, that all men on condition of repentance might come unto him. Father, thy will be done. And so with us, we, the United Nations, have put our hands to the plow, and this contest, on a world of battlefields, unparalleled as it is in magnitude and extent, we will win, however great the cost. And being followers of Jesus, the Son of God, and members of his Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, let us do as he did at the time of his great agony, that is, appeal to our Heavenly Father in great earnestness and humility for the lives of our loved ones to be spared and for their bodies to be unharmed. But back of these earnest and humble prayerful appeals, let us, as best we can, be courageous and Christ-like. Back of all these appeals may we have, in some degree, that spirit Christ so gloriously exhibited during that sublimest moment of his life when to his most earnest prayerful appeal he added, Nevertheless, not my will, but thine, be done. Thus courageously and Christ-like, may we plunge with all our might into this greatest of all world wars, and by the power of God may we deserve to win, and by that same power may victory be ours with the least possible loss of blood, and the fewest possible number of tears, and of heartaches. I humbly pray,